Bibles to 1 John chapter number 2. Thought it would be best if I did not continue the couples topic. I thought about it. I thought of a good title and everything. I was going to preach about a child's perspective of a dysfunctional family. But I felt like it was best that I don't go that route. For those of you that don't know me, I am Anthony Mastriano. Little bit about where I'm from and my testimony. I am from Alaska. I was born there, raised there. My dad was stationed there in the Air Force. He served 21 years in the military. And Alaska is home to me. I spent majority of my life there, in and out. I did all my school, grade school there. I was a drug baby. I was drug to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. There was never a time where I wasn't in church growing up. As I became a teenager, my family started to fall away from church. But at around the age of 15, I decided that the Christian faith and Jesus Christ was going to become my God and not just my parents. I decided that it was for me. When I was a kid, 4 and 5 year old, I would go to Sunday school and junior church, and I figured out a great way to win the Quietsy Prize, and it was to go out and say the prayer. So if I would go out and say the prayer, I had a better chance of winning the Quietsy Prize. It wasn't because I was quiet, it was because I wanted candy. I said a prayer when I was 5 years old, and I held on to that prayer thinking I was going to heaven. And when I turned about 12 years old, I began to seriously doubt that I was saved. And it became to the point where I knew I was not saved. I knew I was lost. I knew I did not have a savior. I did not have Jesus as my personal savior. And for me, it wasn't a pressing matter. I was like, oh, I'm lost. Okay, but everyone's going to laugh at me. I know everyone's going to laugh at me. Everyone's going to mock me if I come out and say, oh, hey, I'm not saved. I need to get saved. And then I lived for about a year and a half just with this doubt and just knowing I was going to hell, and I wouldn't sleep, and it was concern, but it wasn't a concern enough to where I would step out and actually get saved and get it settled. It was 2008, and I was gonna go to camp, I wasn't gonna go to camp, and my prayer was if God let me go to camp, I'd get saved, and God moved in my dad's heart, and he allowed me to go to camp, and I lasted till Thursday, fighting God, saying, God, I know I'm not saved, but I know that I would be mocked. But the thing was, God moved at that teen camp, and there was 28 people that got saved out of 100. And God just worked in a mighty way. People that were counselors were getting saved. People that went to Bible college were getting saved. And I saw the acceptance amongst my peers of those that were accepting Jesus Christ as their Savior. And on May 28th, 2008, at 8 o'clock, facing southeast on a log by a lake in a fire, I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. Called to preach, went to Bible college for a year. Now I'm just following God's will, just going wherever He wants me to go. And I promised God that if I was given a chance to preach, I wouldn't turn it down. I believe that God has called me to use me, and I want to hopefully be used tonight. If you'd stand for the reading of God's word, 1 John chapter number 2, just two verses. Verse number 5, but whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby we know that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk, even as he walked. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, thank you for the day you've given us. Thank you for the time that we have to come and to hear your word and to just hear what you have for us tonight. Lord, please use me. Lord, calm my nerves. Help me to be able to be used by you tonight. It's not of me that I can do anything, Lord, but it is only of you. And Lord, I pray that as you would be with Pastor Ross and the members of the Blessed Hope Baptist Church that are in Arizona, Lord, I pray that souls will be saved and lives will be changed, and help us to learn something tonight from your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So next Tuesday is Independence Day. And as I was praying and studying, I felt like God might have me to preach about independence and freedom. And I thought about, our forefathers and how I could talk about the patriots that are the reason why we are America today, and I thought about preaching and maybe talking a little bit about our forefathers and how God has given us freedom to worship. And there, you know, many of our forefathers were Christians. They believed in God, and they respected and honored God. People like John Jay, he was the second governor of New York and the first chief justice of the United States. He said, "The Bible is the best of all books, for it is the word of God and teaches us the way to be happy in this world and in the next. Continue, therefore, to read it and regulate your life by its precepts." John Adams said, "The 4th of July, the best holiday ever." I'm a little biased because it's my birthday, but yeah, I believe it is the best holiday out there. I might be a little biased, but that's okay. He said, "The 4th of July ought to be commemorated as a day of deliverance by solemn acts of devotion to Almighty God." George Washington said, "It is impossible to rightly govern the world without God and the Bible." These American forefathers, they set an example for us. They knew that America needed God. If America was going to do anything, if America was going to be great, it would need to follow God. And I believe that if America is going to do something great and continue to be on top of the world economically and overall, and just America, if America is to be great, America has to follow God's word. America has to honor the Bible and to respect who God is and fear God. America became free with the reverence and fear towards God. I believe when America was founded, that it was founded upon Christian morals and Christian standards, and men that respected this Bible, and men that would knew that without this Bible, they would not be able to become free. We thank God because he has given us the freedom to have our own desires. God has given us the freedom to choose Jesus Christ. God has given us the freedom to be able to love Jesus Christ. I'm glad that I'm not a robot. I'm glad that God didn't make us little ants that would just go and do whatever he has to desire, but I'm glad that I get to choose to love Jesus Christ. I am grateful for the freedom that we have to choose Jesus Christ, to have a relationship with him. I'm grateful that we have the freedom to worship, the freedom to come together and to pray and to sing out and praise him without fear of people barging in here and stopping what we have going on. Not everywhere in the world has that. This is the 21st century, and there are countries still that do not have the freedom and do not have the liberty to come together and to worship God. And we ought to be thankful every time we step into a church house that we can come together and worship God. A preacher can preach without having fear of someone coming in and saying, "Don't preach that. That's not what we want you to preach." I'm glad that I come to a church where Pastor Ross can stand before us and tell us that we are sinners. Tell us that we're doing wrong. Tell us that we ought to do more right. I'm grateful that America can come and to choose to worship him. America no longer wants to worship God, though. America doesn't fear God anymore. There was a day when America and the people that led this country feared God. They wanted to obey his commandments. Even the ones that weren't faithful to the church, they knew of God. And they knew of God's commandments, and they respected and honored them. I believe America was founded to be a mission field. I believe when the forefathers had this country and they decided that this country was to be open to all religions, that they saw a potential mission field, that they saw people would be able to come here from all over the world, and that the preachers and that the men of God that were here would be able to witness to them, would be able to lead them to the Lord. I believe that's why America wasn't founded a Christian nation. Not only they were founded as Christian morals and Christian principles, but America wasn't a closed country just for Christians. America was open to all religions. But I believe the forefathers had a desire to see people come to know Jesus Christ, to come to America and to find out who the true God is, to find out who true freedom is. I believe that political correctness is a disease. I believe that it is corrupting our churches. I believe that it is taking a respect and fear away from God. Because preachers no longer are preaching that we are sinners. They are no longer preaching about hell. We have preachers that are saying, "Oh, God is love," and God is love, but that's all they say. They say God will bless your life and God will just give you the joy unspeakable and full of glory, but they won't say, "If you keep my commandments, these things will be added to you." As Christians, we ought to to live with a respect towards God. We got to strive to be like Jesus Christ. American culture wants to defy God and has created a God of rights and freedoms. America has a God of freedom. We are so free, have so many rights that we push aside our the true God and what we were founded upon, and we have made gods of what we think is our rights. You know, the only right that we have is to die and go to hell. If we got what we deserve, if we really got our right, and if God was truly just, he would send us to a hell. He would send us to a place that we deserve, which is hell. But I'm grateful that Jesus Christ saw grace. He provided a way for us not to go to hell. He provided Jesus Christ. What if we look at the life of Jesus Christ and evaluated how Jesus Christ lived his life? In our verse here, in verse 6, it says, "He that saith he abideth in him ought also himself to walk even as he walked." If we say that Christ abides in us, if we say that God is in us and God is filled with us and we are Christians, then shouldn't we believe this verse and walk as Jesus Christ walked? If I was to go to the average American and tell him the life of Jesus Christ, a man that came from a heaven, came and ruled angels. I mean, he was ruling angels. He was in a place of no discomfort. Jesus didn't know what discomfort was in heaven. He was a God that lived on a throne, lived in a palace, lived on the right hand of the Father. Jesus Christ was one that didn't know discomfort, didn't know pain. He only knew of being royal, of being pure. He wasn't around impurity. He wasn't around this filth of this world. Jesus Christ spent his life walking amongst the physically sick, the spiritually dead, and the morally wicked, the self-righteous publicans. He showed the ultimate act of humility by stepping off the throne of heaven and onto the streets of dirt. He went from walking on streets of gold to walking on Roman streets of filth and nastiness. You know, sometimes I think we think that Jesus came to the earth that we live in today. You know, paved streets and cars and automobiles. Jesus didn't live in this time. Jesus lived in a time where it was just nasty. If you ever read about the Roman culture and that time period, it was nasty. It was disgusting. It wasn't very hygienic at all. And we sometimes paint a picture of Jesus being this clean, sharp-cut guy. And I believe he was clean. I believe he was orderly and took care of himself. But the Bible also says that he was the carpenter. And carpentry isn't exactly a dishwashing job. It's a job that you have to get your hands dirty. Carpentry often involves working with stones, working with very, very hard to work with material. And Jesus was a man. But Jesus walked amongst people that were filthy. Jesus walked amongst people that were not pleasant to be around. To abide in him. Our verse says that he that saith, he abideth in him. What is to abide? Abide is to continue permanently or in the same state, to be firm and immovable. If we are to be in Christ, if Christ is to be in us, we should be immovable from Christ. We should be people that want to live Christ and be consumed with him. If I was to take a glass of water and to set it here and to say, this is my life without Christ, it is just the vessel. It would be of no appeal to you. If it was dirty on the outside and it had, you know, if it was weirdly shaped, you know, not many people would want it. But if I was to take some cool water on a hot day and pour that ice cold water, in the illustration, it would be Jesus Christ. You would want that. For every Christian, we should want God to fill us. We should be a vessel that is willing to be filled with Jesus Christ. He would choose 12 disciples to live with. He would invest his life into these 12. 11, one of which he knew would betray him. Could you imagine walking every day with someone that you knew was going to stab you in the back? Jesus Christ was all-knowing. He knew when he chose Judas to walk with him that he would be the one to deceive him, to go behind his back. He would preach and teach, knowing that everything he said would be questioned and criticized. You know, we as Americans, we believe our freedom of speech is should be heard by everybody and respected by everybody, and our opinion matters to everyone. We get this mentality that everything is important to everybody. Everything about me is important to everybody. Jesus Christ knew that the message that he was preaching is the most important thing that everyone could ever hear. When Jesus said, you know, when Jesus would preach and Jesus would tell people of his Father and tell people of heaven, he knew that this is what the world needed to be saved. He knew that this is what the people that are listening to me, if they would believe what I have to say, they would spend eternity with me. If they would believe that I am God, if they would believe that I am the one, am who I say I am, and they would hear the message that Jesus was speaking, the reception, if they knew that Jesus Christ was, if they just believed what he said, who he was, he would freely give his life to be slain. His body would be broken. His spirit would be filled with sin. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says, "For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." A man that went from heaven, living a life without anyone sinful around him. He lived in holiness, going from someone that did not have to know sin. He did not have to know what we experience in sin because he did not know sin. I don't think sometimes we grasp the fact that Jesus knew no sin. He didn't experience the sin that we experience. He did not experience that. He did not know what it was like to do something wrong and to feel the guilt of that. But at one moment when he was on the cross, he would be put on all the sin of the world for us, for men that are still continually denying Jesus Christ, for people that are still continually talking and questioning whether he was who he says he was. Are we really willing to walk as Jesus walked? Are we really willing to live a life as Jesus lived his life? Many of us would say, "I love Jesus Christ. I want to be like Jesus." You know, we would say, "What would Jesus do?" And we'll tell our kids that. We'll tell the people around us that, "Oh, what would Jesus do?" But would we evaluate our life and say, "Am I walking as Jesus would walk?" As Christians, if we are to abide with him, we are to walk as Jesus walked. We are to walk with humility. My first point is to walk with humility. 1 Peter 5, 6 and 7. "Humble yourselves, therefore, into the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." Jesus didn't show a glimpse of pride on this earth. Jesus said to turn the other cheek. Jesus would live his life being questioned by everyone around him. Pharisees out to try to trip him up and try to get him to say the wrong thing. What if we were to walk as Jesus walked, saying truth and just keep speaking truth? If we were to walk with a spirit of humility, a spirit of the only thing that matters is serving God, a spirit of "I am nothing." America is so proud. Americans are proud. We are Americans. We are the greatest country on earth. We are the best. But Americans can find it very hard to be humble. When I witness to somebody, I went out last week in a soul winning, and I was coming across some people that did not believe in Jesus Christ. They did not believe in a God. And sometimes I just want to get aggressive. I want to just be like, "Why don't you believe this? This is true. This is the truth. You need to believe this. Do you not understand that there is a hell?" And for the people that don't believe it, I want to get really aggressive. I can't imagine Jesus Christ. He was a man. And he was a man that knew what he was talking about. I can stumble and I can slip up and I can say the wrong thing when I'm witnessing to somebody. But could you imagine having Jesus Christ standing in front of you, giving you a presentation of the gospel? It was perfect. And they would still reject him. They would still walk away doubting. Me as a human, as a man, I want to say, "Oh, don't you understand? Like, did you not hear what I just told you? Like, this is true." But Jesus walked with humility. Jesus came to be a servant. Jesus would wash the feet of the disciples. Sometimes we can think ourselves so mighty that we can't pick up a piece of trash. But Jesus would get on his hands and knees and he would wash the feet of the disciples. He would serve the people around him. He would look for opportunities to serve the people that he came to save, the people that should be serving him, the people that should be bowing down and worshiping him, and the people that were around him that should just be giving honor, who honor his doom. And if anyone was deserving of honor, it would be Jesus Christ. But he would spend his entire life serving everyone around him. You know, it's funny to think, you know, I can't wait to talk to Jesus' siblings in heaven. You know, how was it to have a perfect sibling, you know? You know, how was it? Did he ever go in your room, just clean it? Like, that's what I want to know. Did he ever just walk in your room and clean it for you, just see your mess and just be like, oh, clean it? I mean, their house had to be, like, spotless. I mean, think about it. Jesus, you know, I mean, he had to be, like, OCD to extreme. I mean, like, everything has to be perfect. Like, he is perfect. You know, everything he has is perfect. Everything around him is perfect. Jesus was here to serve. Jesus was here to be a son, not only to his father, but to his earthly parents. I believe that Jesus Christ, many people believe that Jesus' earthly father, Joseph, either died or went off the scene somehow, but he at some point we no longer hear of Joseph. And Joseph had to take care of his family, I believe. As the oldest son, he took care of his mother, I believe. I believe that Jesus was the carpenter of Galilee and he made a living for himself. I believe Jesus couldn't have that title without making a good living. But I believe he gave it all away. I believe he gave it to his mother, to his family, to the people around him. If you were to ask, you know, sometimes preachers, you know, there's a misconception that preachers have a lot of money. But man, I know so many preachers that just give out of their abundance. They don't just give what they are required of, but they just give and give. And Jesus Christ, I don't think he had a dime to his name. I don't think he left anything in his wallet when he died. I think it was all given away. Jesus came to be a sacrifice, to be a lamb slain, to be the person that would be beaten and bruised and to die a death of suffering and agony. He didn't have to. But he chose to because he loved us. Jesus Christ came to be a savior. He came because we were lost. He came because we needed hope. We needed someone to save us because we were dying. We should also be about our Father's business. Walk with compassion. Matthew 14:14 says, Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. Do we have compassion for the hurting? Do we have a concern for their souls? You know, sometimes I'll be in a large crowd somewhere, and just walking, and I'll see people around me, and I don't know if this is you too, but I'll just stand there, and I'll think most of the people around me don't know who Jesus is. I'll stand there, and sometimes it's good for us. Go in a large crowd. Go somewhere that's populated. And to see all the people around you. If I was to start talking to people, there would be person after person after person that would say, it's not for me. I'm not for that, you know. Oh, thank you. And they'll put it in their pocket. And if I was to go pass out tracts, you know, people would receive it and receive it and receive it. People that don't know of Jesus Christ. And to go out into a crowd and to not be moved would be a concern to me. To go where people are abundant and everywhere and not feel a burden for them. Jesus had compassion. We are also to have compassion. Romans chapter 9, verse 27-28. As it is appointed man once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Jesus Christ paid the penalty for sin. Jesus Christ lived amongst the people that he was dying for. And he was moved with compassion every day, I believe. I believe there wasn't a day that Jesus walked in this earth that he wasn't moved with compassion. And if we're to walk as Jesus walked, I believe we are to walk with compassion. The Bible says in Jude verse 22, and some having compassion, making a difference. If we are to make a difference in this world, if we are to make a difference in this world that we live in, we are to walk with compassion. We are to walk with a concern for souls, for a concern about the people around us. When was the last time that you went out and talked to someone about Jesus Christ? When was the last time you actually opened up the Word of God and said, hey, this is what I believe? Do you know who Jesus is? You know, there's a lot of people out there that are just waiting for someone to come talk to them. They are waiting for someone to open up a Bible and just tell you who Jesus is. There's a lot of people out there that make soul winning really easy because God is already working on their hearts. God is already in the moving and working. The harvest is truly great. Where are the laborers, though? Where are the people that are going to go out in the world and actually open the Bible and be a witness? But for us, we might be too prideful for that. We might have things that are of too much of a concern to us, that we walk through our lives too unconcerned about souls and too concerned about ourselves. Walk with God. 1 John 1:7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we are to walk as Jesus walked, we are to walk with God. It is a continual thing. It is a daily thing. We are to open this Bible and we are to read it. We are to let light expose our darkness. If we are to walk in light, darkness will be exposed. If we are to walk in light, we will find faults and failures in us. But that is something I want. I want to come to church, I want to hear the preacher preach, and I want to see things I need to work on. And as I prepared this message, God prompted me and convicted me of what I'm doing for Christ. If I'm walking enough with Christ, if I could do more, if we're to live as Jesus Christ lived, we should be more concerned about walking with God than walking with those around us. Jesus Christ had one goal on this earth, and it was to do the Father's will. As we're to walk on this earth, are we about God's will for our lives? Or are we concerned about what God has for us in a blessing way? Sometimes Christians just assume that because we come to church, because we sit in a pew, because we're in the ministry somewhere, that we're doing enough. We're satisfied with just serving as we are. But as Christians, we should always be moving forward, always growing closer to God. We should never come to a place where we said, I'm close enough. I don't think there would be one person that truly knew who God was and was saved that was said, would be able to say, I'm close enough to Jesus Christ. I think I'm good. I'm glad that God has a drawing of me. God wants me to be closer to him. I want to be closer to Jesus Christ, but God wants to be closer to me. God wants to speak to me. It is an amazing thing to think about a God that is holy and pure and knows no sin and is righteous and is just, wants to have a relationship with me, a rotten sinner, a sinner that fails him daily. He wants to walk with me. He wants to expose darkness. He wants to shine light into my life. Without God, there is no light in me. The Bible says that we are to walk in light as he is in the light. John 3, verse 19. And this is the condemnation, that light is come unto the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Wrought is to be formed. Formed in God. Could you imagine being so empty of self that God would fill you? How much different would our lives be if God would fill us? If we were to be filled with the Holy Spirit, we would be more at peace. We would be filled with more joy. We would be filled with more love. I believe we would be filled with more conviction. I believe we would be filled with more of, if we were to be filled with more light, more darkness would be exposed. More of the evil in our lives and our hearts would be so visibly seen to us that we would want to live better, that we would want to improve our lives, not just settle at where we're at. Fill yourself with the thoughts of God. Fill yourself with thoughts that are pure. Philippians 4, verse 7 and 9 through 9, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. This should be our criteria for our thought life. If it's not on this list, we should remove it from our thoughts. If it is not pure, if it is not just, if it is not lovely, if it is not of a good report, if it is not virtue, we should put it away from our minds when we should fill it with Jesus Christ. If we are to walk as Jesus Christ walked, we are to walk in Jesus. We are to walk in the light. We are to think as Jesus thought. Today I want to just challenge myself and to challenge us that are in this room to walk as Jesus walked. If we were to leave this room to go out and to really grasp walking with Jesus Christ and walking as he walked, this church would be changed. This church would become more alive. And this church is doing a lot for the cause of the kingdom of Christ. This church is active and soul winning. This church has a preacher that will stand before this pulpit and preach truth and preach the gospel. There are souls that are out there that are just waiting for us to invite them in, that are just waiting for us to go and bring them in. Bring them in. Invite people. If we were to just invite someone every week, if we were to just go out and get on a bus route, say, well, I'm not on a bus route right now. I'm not going soul winning. Well, what are you waiting for? What's stopping you? What is it that has you so busy that you don't have time to just knock on a door, hand a tract to someone next to you in a line at a store, and just say, hey, you know, I go to church at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Do you go to church anywhere? Do you have somewhere where you worship God? Do you know who God is? What a difference the people in this room could make if we would just go out and live with Christ in us and letting the light that is in us to expose darkness around us. As we leave tonight, please consider your life. Evaluate it. Look at it as with the thought of, am I walking as Christ walked? Our verse said, if he abide in me, walk as he did. Even as he walked, so walk. I have, this is a message that I've been working in on my life, and I want to do more. I want to be on the route more. I want to be soul winning more. And I pray that we would all go, and we would all strive to be more of a Christian, of a soul winner, of people that would go out and be soul concerned, be concerned about the souls around us enough to stop and say, hey, do you know who Jesus is? Do you know that you're lost? Many people in America do not know they're lost. They do not know there is a hell. I hear coworkers joking about going to hell. And it pricks my heart every time that they would act like as if they're happy about this. If they only realize that the hell is actually real. If it is an actual place where people are going every day. People around us are dying every day. People that we know, if we were to go around the room and say, in the last year, how many people do you know that have died? We would be able to name person after person after person that have slipped off into eternity. How many of them have we been able to affect? How many of them have we been able to let our light shine to them? I pray that I can be more of a light in this world. And I pray that I can do more for Christ. And I pray that as a blessed hope moves on for Christ, that we all become more of a light for Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, I thank you for the opportunity to open your word and to learn from what your word has to say. I thank you for a place that has a desire to let their light shine. Lord, I pray that you would use me to be more of a light. I pray that you would use this church to be more of a lighthouse in the darkness of this world. I pray that you would be glorified in everything that we do. In Jesus' name.